Thanks for joining us at the Montrose Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us at montrosechurch.org. Have a great day.
Good morning, church. How are you? Good to be with you. Praying for Pastor Dave and Cindy. They're in Dallas, so hoping they have a great trip. And this morning, I'm kicking off a new series called Essentials. And we're going to be going through four different psalms, 4 weeks, four different psalms in this series. And this morning is Psalm 34, if you want to get that ready. We'll be there in just a few minutes. And the title of this morning's message is Taste and See. And we're going to be just talking about the essentials and how do the essentials in Christ lead us to new life. And in Psalms, we find just a gold mine for understanding the human experience. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. Let me pray and we'll begin. Gracious God, thank you for your presence here with us today. Would you speak to us through your word, God? Speak to our minds. Speak to our hearts. We love you, Jesus. And in your precious name we pray. Amen. Chaos and goodness. Our lives are filled with these two things. And so often it's a movement from chaos to goodness. Let's do a few examples. It was 3 a.m. in Kansas City. Shaylee, myself, and our baby, who was 6 weeks old at the time, and our lovely, beautiful little baby, Collins, would not sleep. Parents, have you been there? Yes, yes. We tried everything to get her to sleep, and she is just crying and crying and fussing, and it's been hours, and I'm exhausted, and Shaylee's exhausted, and the baby's exhausted, but she is a fighter. She's hanging on. So there's this moment where I'm holding her, and I'm looking at her little face, and she's just crying. I'm like, please, baby, I love you so much. Go to bed. Stop crying. Go to bed. And all of the sudden, church, she projectile vomits all over. And I'm just stunned, shocked, and I hand her to Shaylee. I go and hop in the shower, and Shaylee cleans her up, and then I come back in. She's doing fine now. She's doing great. I'm like, yeah, you know, she just needed to throw up on dad. Now her stomach's feeling much better. All right. So I'm holding her again, and this time she's feeling better, and she's so happy, and I'm looking at her, and all I can think about is how good this little baby is. Even though she was a chaotic little creature a second ago. But I'm just looking at her thinking about how good she is. The goodness of God in this little girl. Here's a little picture of the aftermath after this. Let's see if we have it on the screen. You see the happy version. Yeah. Chaos and goodness. At youth summer camp, there's a lot of chaos and goodness. We've been taking a good group of high school students to summer camp at Biola the last 4 or 5 years, and it is chaotic. So much craziness. We take about 40 students, and there's about 1,200 students at the camp. And there's sports and beach time and dorm room hangouts and bad cafeteria food and worship sessions and so much more awesome things. But there's also injuries, sunburns, hurt feelings, lost items, illegally jumping into the campus fountain, right? You know who you are. So much chaos. And I find myself, church, every year at the beginning of that camp, God, would you just use this week? Would your goodness break through the chaos when you speak to our young people? And he does every single time. There's these moments of goodness at worship sessions or at the lunch table. Kids surrendering their lives to Jesus and getting baptized. We baptized over 20 kids the last three years at high school camp. God's goodness is all over it, from chaos to goodness. Christmas is a little less than 2 months away. Is that crazy? Everybody's like, oh my goodness. I can't believe it. Christmas, it's the most chaotic time of the year. It's insane. The hustle and the bustle and getting everything ready in the house or the apartment decorations and figuring out the schedule with work and family and friends and if you're going to travel or not and maybe some Christmas parties and people are getting sick and you need to get presents and oh my goodness. And not only do you need to get presents, but you notice that those Christmas deals start to come through. And your TV's been great all year, but now you're convinced, I need a new one. That 70-inch Samsung is too good of a deal. I can't walk away from that, right? So much chaos. But there's moments, church, at Christmas time when goodness breaks in. Just for a moment, maybe it's you're with your kids and you're all drinking hot chocolate and your kid just cannot stop talking about how good the hot chocolate is. You see their smiles. Goodness breaks in. Maybe you're in the car and you're singing Christmas carols or looking at lights. And just for a moment, you feel the goodness of this Christmas season. Maybe it's Christmas Eve when you're here at Montrose Church, lifting up your candle, singing Silent Night, and everything up to that point has just been craziness and chaos. But just for a moment, you slow down enough to realize what the real reason is behind this crazy season. Goodness coming to earth. Jesus is here. Maybe it's Christmas Day when you're gathered around with the family, sharing presents. Maybe later, sharing a meal. And just for a moment, you look around and you thank God for all that he's given you, from chaos to goodness. Now, not only are these two extremely present in our lives, but we see chaos and scripture, we see chaos and goodness over scripture as well, all over the place. And the first place we see chaos and goodness is in the very first page of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. I want to invite you to go there if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bible apps. Genesis 1:1-5. And we're going to go through some Hebrew words because if you know me, you know I love that. Here it is. This is how the Bible begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Let's stop there. Formless and empty, two twin wrestler words that mean chaotic nothingness. Tohu and bohu, formless, empty, tohu and bohu. And darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God. If you remember from 2 weeks ago, I talked about Ruach, the Spirit of God, this breath, this wind that wherever it shows up, new creation happens, new creation takes place. And so the Ruach of God was hovering over the waters. Now, let's pause on waters. Waters in scripture, sea, oceans, waters, they represent one of two things, either cleansing or chaos. Those two things. And in this text, they represent chaos. So God's Spirit was hovering over the chaos and he begins to create. Verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. Good. Word tov. T-O-V. Can you say tov with me, church? Tov, remember that one. He saw that the light was good. It was tov. And much more than just our, that's good, or when we say that, it means beautiful and whole, so very good. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And so if you get the imagery here, God is creating out of the chaos. He's creating good things. And he continues. He separates the lands and the oceans, and he says they're good. Then the plants, trees that bear fruit, and God says it's good. God creates animals, birds, and fish, and says again, it's good. Come on, church, stay with me. It's good. And on the sixth day of creation, God creates humans. In his image, he creates them. And at the end of the sixth day, he doesn't just say it's good. He says it's very good. It's very good. From chaos to goodness, and we continue to see these two pop up all over scripture. I don't have time to go through all the different texts, but we see chaos and goodness in David and Goliath and Jonah and different places in the Old Testament. Let me just give us one example in the New Testament about chaos and goodness. It's in the Gospel of Mark. Mark 4:35-41. And remembering that waters mean chaos. Here's that story. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I'm thinking that must be some kind of Tempur-Pedic cushion. Like it's gotta be super nice, right? The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So much chaos, and the disciples are crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, we're going to die. How are you sleeping right now? How much melatonin did you take last night? Can't believe this." But they forgot that Jesus was the king over all the chaos. And he wakes up and rebukes the storm. Be still, from chaos to goodness. Okay, now we have those. You got those two? Chaos and goodness, got them? All right. This sets a foundation for us to understand our psalm for today, Psalm 34. Because David is writing this psalm from a place of chaos. At this time, he's been on the run from Saul. King Saul's been trying to kill him, and so David's been all over the country. And eventually, he finds himself in the Philistine city of Gath, hiding out, which is interesting because he just killed Goliath not that long ago, who was from Gath and was the great Philistine warrior. So it's interesting that David would be hiding there, but he is. He's trying to lay low. But the king of that Philistine city recognizes him. And so they capture David. But David acts insane. He acts like he's losing his mind. And the Philistines had a superstition where they wouldn't kill anyone who's losing their mind. And so they let David go. So crazy. And so David continues to be on the run. And many scholars think that he writes this psalm, Psalm 34, in a cave. And just with so much chaos, this is the psalm that he writes. Here it is, our main text for today. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them." Verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Same Hebrew word, tov. "Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their trouble. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and save those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, and the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." Amen. Beautiful psalm. Three different points out of this psalm for us today, church. Number one, taste and see that the Lord is good. In the midst of chaos, David is convinced that God is good. He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And this psalm is all about God's goodness and his presence. And how can David be saying all this? How can he sing the song of God's goodness in the face of such chaos? Because he's experienced God's goodness before. Let's go to verse 6, right before verse 8. "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Verse 6. "This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers him." David is talking about himself as the poor man who God has delivered. He has seen God work in his life. He has tasted the goodness. Let me ask you this question this morning, church. Have you experienced God's goodness in your life? Have you tasted it? Growing up in Colorado, my family would go skiing 3 to 4 times every winter. And I loved it. We got any skiers or snowboarders in here? A few of you. 6 to 8 hours on the mountain, so much fun. But really, my favorite part about skiing with the family was the dinner we got afterwards. We always went to this same place in this little mountain town in Colorado called Idaho Springs, and it was a pizza place called Bojo's Pizza. And church, it's incredible. It's incredible. They got that thick crust that you finish the pizza, you got the thick crust, and you put the honey on, and you taste it, and you're like, oh, my goodness, that is good. You had food like that, you just can't believe it. You're like, where has this been my whole life? I love Bojo's Pizza because I've tasted it. I've experienced how good it is. You guys haven't, so you have to take my word for it. And that's a bummer. You know what? I'm going to talk to Pastor Dave, and we're going to do a big trip to the mountains in Colorado, okay? And we'll go to Bojo's Pizza, and you can see what I'm talking about. Sound good? Okay, all right. If you haven't tasted the goodness of God, it's going to be hard to hold on to God in the midst of chaos. And how do we experience God? How do we taste God? We slow down and we look, because God's goodness is all around us. It's all around us. Jen Wilkin, a Christian author, has a great book called In His Image, and she writes about God's goodness. Here's the quote. It'll be on the screen. We experience God's goodness in 1,000 everyday graces, every one of us, lost or saved, great or small. No, all is not currently good, but much is if we take time to note it. Have you noticed that creation is not merely functional, but it is beautiful? Our 5 senses confirm that God has done far more than fashion a utilitarian ecosystem for his creatures. He grants us not only sight, but the perception of color and depth and contrast. He grants us not only a sense of touch, but softness and coarseness, smoothness and roughness, warmth and cold. Our sense of taste knows 1,000 flavors, our hearing 1,000 tones and melodies and pitches and volumes, our sense of smell 1,000 fragrances, aromas, and scents. God could have created a much duller creation and much duller creatures to fill it, but in his goodness, he formed and filled it with color, cacophony, cornucopia. Anyone who has passed a gardenia bush at dusk, has known the redolent goodness of God. Anyone who has halted at a sunrise, stilled at the calling of a bird, wept at a harmony, rolled a raspberry across the tongue, reveled in the dew-laden grass underfoot, or marveled at the symmetry of a spider web, knows the goodness lies scattered around us. Like so many diamonds for the gathering, we're fairly tripping over it at every turn. Even in a fallen world, perhaps we might fail to be amazed that the vestiges of very good creation endure, even as it groans in the wake of its shattering. But let us marvel that even in our rebellious state, God's goodness endures towards us in 1,000 circumstances. Can we taste and see that the Lord is good? Can we look? And this is why practicing gratitude is so important, church. Just a chance to slow down and look and see all the ways in which God has blessed us. Another way we taste and see that the Lord is good is we get into his presence. There are specific spiritual practices that help us get into the presence of God, and we let his spirit work on us and remind us of his goodness. Communal worship, you're here today, so check that one off the list. Great job. Communal worship, reading scripture, prayer, moments of silence and solitude, listening for God. Different things that take us into the presence of a good God, and he can remind us that he is for us. He's for us. Back to Bojo's Pizza. Is that okay? Sure. Now, when I'm in Colorado and we're close to the mountains, I tell my family, hey, can we go to Bojo's Pizza? I need to taste that goodness again. So when I'm in California, hundreds of miles away, I can remember how good that pizza is. And this is just how it is with us, church, and getting into God's presence. Can we slow down? Can we enter time with Jesus and the Holy Spirit over and over and over? So when chaos hits, we can remember that God is still good. He's near. I noticed just for myself personally, when I'm quick to anger, I'm less patient, more negative, it's almost always because I have not been spending intentional time with Jesus. And so I don't know if that's you, but can we taste and see that the Lord is good? Can we slow down and see it? Number two, marked by God's goodness. What's so beautiful about this psalm is David refuses to let the chaos of his life control him. He refuses to let the chaos mark him and hold him down. He begins with praise. I will extol the Lord at all times. And he continues talking about God's goodness and his presence. Another question for us, is our life marked by chaos or marked by God's goodness? There's so much chaos in our world. Life is busy. So many voices calling out to us. I think of social media and the news, right? Has anybody watched an hour or so of the news and felt better about themselves? Yeah, probably not. Right? You usually feel a little more negative and maybe even charged up towards another people group or something, right? Which is such a tragedy because that's the opposite of what Jesus wants for us. Jesus says, turn the other cheek and pray for those who persecute you and pray for your enemies. He even takes it a step further on the cross. When Jesus is dying, he prays for his killers. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's amazing. So the election is on Tuesday. You're like, oh, I didn't know if he was going to talk about it. Right? I'm just going to say one quick thing and we will keep moving, okay? Everybody can take a breath. Right. One quick thing, and really it's a prayer for all of us. And this is it. God, help us be like Jesus this week. Help us act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, love like Jesus. And in the midst of chaos, can we be marked by God's goodness? Amen, church. Can we remember that? A beautiful story of someone's transformation from chaos to goodness in the Bible is Mary Magdalene. Mary was a demon-possessed prostitute. She was broken, and the world had run her over and cast her aside, and she was marked by chaos. All she had known in her life was chaos. Then she met Jesus. Does anybody have a testimony like that? My life was chaos, and then I met Jesus. She had an encounter with the Prince of Peace and the King of all goodness, and he healed her, transformed her life, and now she was someone who was marked by the goodness of God. Are we marked by the chaos around us or by God's goodness? And when we are marked by God's goodness, hear me, church, it doesn't mean the chaos is gone. It's still present, but we're making a decision. I'm going to hold on to Jesus and his goodness in the middle of the chaos. I think of the story in Matthew 14 when Peter is out on the water with Jesus. Waters, remember? Chaos. Jesus is standing on the chaos, inviting Peter out. Peter goes towards him, and he's able to stand on the chaos as well, as long as he does what? As long as he keeps his eyes fixed on Christ. That's what he tries to do, and we need to do today, church. And this is how David is able to write our psalm in the way he does, about God's goodness and his grace and his presence, because he was keeping his eyes fixed on God. Can we be marked by God's goodness? Can we taste and see that the Lord is good, and then let his goodness overflow out of us? We're invited to be a people who join God in releasing his goodness in the world. Verse 14 of our psalm, turn from evil and do good, do tov. Seek peace and pursue it. We're not called to be a people who push chaos. David says, turn from evil, do good, pursue good things. Let us be a people who are relentless in showing others the goodness of God. So when people encounter us, they don't meet another person that's tossed about by the winds and the waves, but they meet someone who has built their house on the rock, on God's goodness, and then it overflows out of us. Amen, church. Let us be marked by God's goodness today. And number three, God's goodness will never end. God's goodness is here. And as we've talked about, chaos is present as well. We are not promised a life free from chaos. We're not. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, in this life you will have trouble. You will have chaos, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So there's chaos, brokenness, pain. But we are promised two things in Scripture that I think make dealing with the chaos, make this chaos bearable in our lives. And the first one is this, is that Jesus is with us in the chaos. Jesus entered our chaotic world because of his love for us. He's the king over all chaos, but he took on flesh and he felt the sharp cut of chaos for us. He is our Emmanuel. He is God with us. Verse 18 of our psalm says this: the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Such good news. Because of God's goodness, God can't help but be near to people in situations of pain and struggle and heartache and chaos. He just moves in. It's who he is. And church, he knows the chaos you're facing today. He does. He does. And even death, the strongest form of chaos, the ultimate enemy. He entered into that for us so chaos wouldn't win and get the last word in our lives, but God's goodness would. So take heart, because Jesus is with you today. He's with us in all our chaos. And secondly, there's a beautiful promise in Scripture that chaos will end. It will cease to exist, and God's goodness will never end. Let's go to Revelation 21. 1-5. You're like, man, Colt, we're doing the whole Bible today. Yep, we are. Revelation 21, 1-5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Hold on to that. I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. New heaven, new earth. Okay, that's awesome. We love that. No longer any sea. What's that? We're Californians. We love the ocean and the sea, right? Anybody? Beaches, all those kind of things? No longer any sea. Remember what we've been talking about. At the end of time, when God is all in all and his goodness reigns and the new heaven and the new earth are here, there will no longer be any sea. He's saying there will no longer be any chaos. It will be gone. God will be with his people and he will wipe away every tear from our eye and death will be no more. God's goodness will never end, but chaos will. It will. So can we hold on to that today, friends? In conclusion, I want to invite the band forward and then ushers, we can get ready for communion. I want to bring it down to ground level as we close. God is a good God. He is. He is. He's Tov. And you are Tov because you are his creation. You are. No matter how you're feeling today, church, you're Tov, you're good. And maybe you're having a hard time with that because there's just a lot of chaos in your life. Or maybe it's decisions you've made that have brought chaos into your life. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's decisions of those who are around you that's brought about a lot of chaos. Maybe it's just the chaos of our world and culture just weighing you down. Maybe that's a lot of us this morning. But I think we're closing this sermon in the best possible way we could, and that is at the table of the Lord. We're invited to bring all our chaos and brokenness to God's table. And in communion, we're reminded that even though there's chaos, God is good. So can we taste and see today, church? Can we get it into our bodies, our bones, our hearts, and our souls? Can we come to the table today and be reminded that God's goodness will never end? It will never end. So I'm gonna pray for us. We're gonna play a song as we pass out the elements. Just invite you to hold those out in front of you, and then we'll take them all together after the song as the family of God. But church, the invitation is just to think about the chaos in your life. Maybe there's a little, maybe there's a lot. And think about God's goodness and how he wants to remind you of his goodness today and his grace. And that's why we take these elements. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for this morning. Thanks for just this message and just what Scripture tells us, God, is that you are good. So can we hold on to that? Even though there's chaos, God, can we hold on to the fact that you are a good God who's for us? You're with us in our pain and our brokenness and our suffering, God. And as we come to the table, can we release all those things to you? Whatever we need to give you, God, can we give you those things and taste and see that you are good? Because of the cross and the resurrection, your goodness will never end, and we celebrate that today, God. Would you bless these elements and bless the people who are partaking them? Bless them in your holy name, God. We love you. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at the Montrose Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.montrosechurch.org. Have a great day.